Our scripture reading today will be from Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of a false brother secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, and we pray that you would use it to give us confidence in our faith and encouragement towards the life that you call us to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in college, I had a class on the life of Paul, and one of the books had a really striking title. It was a book by F.F. Bruce, who was a prominent theologian and or biblical scholar, and he would probably be disappointed to know that I don't really remember anything in the book. I'm sure it's been like ingrained into some of my thinking, but what I remember is the title. The title is Paul, Apostle of the Heart Set Free. See, Paul was passionate about the wonder and grace of the gospel, and the freedom that that brings to our life. And last week we kind of began to look at Paul's concern for the Galatians and how they're following after what he calls a different gospel, something that isn't true to the gospel as it has been presented by him and as he understood it to be in Christ. And he told about some of his experiences. He talked about how he was a zealous Jewish religious man, and how he was super faithful to following the law and keeping all their traditions and practices, so zealous that he was concerned about the Christians, and he went around persecuting them because he thought they were a heretical sect, that like they weren't faithful to God. So it was a very remarkable thing to him when on one of his journeys to the town of Damascus, where he was going to again bring affliction upon Christian, believers in Jesus, Jesus showed up and said, "You're wrong. You've got this wrong. Why are you persecuting me?" So Paul had this like really truly transformative experience. He discovered that for all his effort and all his faithfulness to keep the law, he was going in absolutely the wrong direction. And yet, he experienced the wondrous grace of God, who said, I love you and I want you and I have a purpose for you. And he called him to this ministry to share with the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, the good news about Jesus. And it was so transformative. This guy who had been persecuting Christians, like, immediately started going out and telling people about Jesus. And so he tells this story to the Galatians about his transformation and how he is so committed to the good news about Jesus. And apparently there have been some false teachers who have come in and they are teaching some different ideas than what Paul believes is essential to the truth of the gospel. It was something probably like, well, obviously it would involve Jewish traditions, practices, and rituals, such as circumcision and their food laws and other things that they thought were really important to be holy and right before God and right with God. And so they were saying, basically, Paul hasn't got the whole message. And they were using their Jewish roots, their connection to believers in Jerusalem, to reinforce the idea that they were teaching the true gospel. And Paul is appalled. That's really good. Paul is appalled that they are falling for this message. In fact, they're turning away from the message of the gospel that Paul shared to follow after these rules and regulations. And he is concerned. See, Paul has come to understand that keeping all those rules and regulations doesn't make you right with God. And he has come to understand also that Jesus died for our sins and has been raised again so that we can have life, that we can be set free. Paul, apostle of the heart, set free, right? That idea. We've been set free. We've been set free from all kinds of burdens. We have been set free from sin. We have been set free in Christ from death. And we have been set free in Christ from the vain attempt to please God with our own behaviors and actions. So fundamental to most human belief is that we get what we deserve, right? The idea is that how you live affects how life treats you. And in this idea is that there's this thinking that someone could possibly be good enough to deserve good things, right? Well, Paul says that's not the right message. No one is good enough. No one is ever going to be good enough to earn a right relationship with God. The only way that is possible is through faith in Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who has lived that perfect life. And on top of that, he stood in our place to take the condemnation, the punishment that we deserved so that we could be set free and made right with God. And so he is concerned both about the truth of the gospel, that you get the right message, but also that when you have the right message, you're able to live that life of freedom in Christ. So he's concerned that the message is being twisted, distorted, and that as a result of that, the Galatian Christians are being moved back into a life of bondage to something that will do no good for them. And we see that in all kinds of religions, and often those religions that kind of play on Christian faith, that they tie themselves to the Bible in some way, but they still give this message that there's more you have to do, that the grace we have in Christ is not enough, that to have the full effect of the gospel, you have to follow these practices, these traditions. And we could name several different groups that have those kind of ideas. Paul would speak out against them and say, you need nothing but Christ. And when you have Christ, you have been set free to live completely for Him. So the question that comes up, and there's this phrase, I really like the way the English Standard Version translates this phrase. He says, when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. See, Paul believes that the truth of the gospel is important and that there is a life that comes out of understanding and appreciating the gospel. See, the gospel is the good news that you've been set free in Christ and you can live a beautiful life for God. And Paul is afraid that rather than being able to live that beautiful life that God calls them to, they were falling back into the burden of trying to prove on their own that they were good enough for God. So let's just kind of review a little bit of what's going on right in this passage. In this passage, Paul says one of the ways that you can know that my gospel is the things that I teach about Jesus is true is that it's been confirmed by the apostles in Jerusalem. See, these false teachers were saying, we have on a better authority than Paul what you need to believe. And Paul says, that's not true. So he says, first he tells about his experience, right, in the previous verses, like how transformative his experience of Jesus was and how drawn to share that message he was. And now he talks about how he had a revelation from God that he needed to go to Jerusalem and connect with the religious leaders there in a more significant way. So we don't know what the revelation was. We just know what the outcome was. How Paul interpreted whatever vision he had with God or however God communicated to him that he needed to go. He had the idea, I need to go to Jerusalem and talk to the leaders and make sure we're all on the same page. For him, it was important that there was a unity throughout the church around the message that God had given him and the purpose that God had given him to go to the Gentiles. And Paul goes and he says, I took Titus with me. Well, why is that important? It's important because Titus wasn't Jewish. Titus was a Greek person. And so Paul is there with the very disciples that had walked with Jesus, who had taken on leadership of the church, and then Jesus' brother, and he was James, and he was there with them, and he was saying, this is the message that I'm sharing. I'm going out there to the Gentile world, to the non-Jewish people, and I'm sharing them the good news that Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead, and I just want you to know that's what I'm doing. I mean, it's like, okay, what do you guys think about that? And Titus is with me, and he's a Greek guy. He's not been circumcised, and I'm not asking, you know, basically he said, I'm not asking them to be. And they said, that's okay. He said, they did not think that was necessary. And so, in fact, in the end of the, like in verse 8 or so, they saw that I had been trusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just like Peter had been to the Jews. So he said, they affirmed that God's hand was on me, that God had called me to go to the Gentiles in the same way that he had called Peter to share with the Jews. And so we have Peter, who's this really, truly prominent leader in the church in Jerusalem, in that region, and he has a specific ministry. And now they're saying, and we recognize that God has given Paul a specific ministry, and we're excited about that. And they seem to be pillars. They perceived the grace that was given to me. They gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So Paul is telling the Galatians, you can be confident in the message that I have because I have spoken with the leaders in Jerusalem, and they affirmed the message that I teach. In fact, they even said, we give you our blessing to go and continue to share the good news. So that's the part of, that's the purpose here in this portion of the letter to the Galatians that Paul is addressing. He wants the Galatians to know the validity and veracity of his message, the integrity of the message, and that has been affirmed by the what was recognized at that time as the highest human authorities in the church. And so that's what he's trying to say. Now, it's interesting, he had a little conflict while he was there. There were some false brothers. And I did a lot of research trying to figure out what the false brothers were, and we're not really clear. It's one of two things. It's either some Jewish people who were suspicious of Christians, and they were trying to pretend to be believers so that they could see all the bad things that they thought the believers were doing because they weren't being faithful to the Jewish religion. So it was either outsiders pretending to be insiders, or it were some people who had been part of the church that hadn't fully understood and grasped the message and were following the wrong principles. So whatever it was, they came into that group with a specific intent to see the things that they could claim. They were spying on them to see the things that they could claim. Oh, they're taking all these liberties, and they're not following the law, and they're not doing the things that they're supposed to do. And Paul says, we did not give in to the pressure that they put on us because we took the seriousness of the gospel as a priority, and because we wanted you to receive the gospel as it is really truly known in Christ. And so he thinks that the integrity of the message is affected by how they live their life, and he was not going to give in to other rules that would pervert or distort the gospel message for those he was preaching to. So the one point Paul is making, the message, the gospel I treat, is true and reliable, and it has integrity. It's even been affirmed by the disciples and the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. At that point, there was nowhere higher to go. Well, then there's this other strange little incident. He says, I had a problem with Peter in Antioch. So Antioch is a city north of Jerusalem, more Gentile Hellenistic Jews. And he's there. That's where he came to faith. And he is he's there, and Peter has been there for a while too. And during that time, Peter was just going along with everything just fine until some really staunch Jewish Christians came from the church in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden he got very rigid about the rules and the ways he was living his life amongst the Gentiles, and he was going back on what they had affirmed for Paul about Gentile believers. And so Paul says, I confronted him because they were being hypocrites and they weren't living their life, their conduct wasn't in step with the gospel. And in a sense, Paul is saying, even though they knew the truth, even though they affirmed the truth, Peter still was pulled away. And even my friend, my co-worker, Barnabas, who has been with me in mission and who has been an encourager to me, even he was forced, moved to behave in this manner. And so Paul confronts them. And I think those names are put in there so you can... We aren't told that it was resolved, that conflict, but we're left to understand anyone from Galatia could have gone and talked to Peter about it. That's why he puts their names in there. So you can... He's not hiding this, and it can be verified. We had this conflict, and we dealt with it, I think that's what you're left to understand, that they worked it out. But there's a few things I want to say now that we've kind of covered all that. We all want to be sure of the integrity of the gospel. We want to be following truth, right? We don't want to align our lives with deception. We want to be people who know that how we live our life is based on truth and reality. One of the things that I am confident in is the historical accuracy of Scripture, and that we have a historical record from generations upon generations, thousands of years of a consistent, faithful message about what God is like, what God cares for in His people, and that we can, and I believe that we can rely on the message from the gospel. We're not unlike those people in Galatia who Paul knew needed to have for them, affirm for them the reliability of his message. And he puts a lot of effort into saying, you can trust this message. And so, again, I am confident in the gospel message that Jesus Christ lived, that he died for in our place, that we have freedom in Christ when we put our faith in him. I think another thing in this story is that this idea that we want to know how to live our life. And I think on one side of this equation, you have some people who are concerned with how are those Christians going to live the right kind of life. And they were concerned that their freedoms, that in so much freedom, they weren't going to be able to live their lives on the right track with God. And Paul is concerned about conduct, right? He says their conduct wasn't in step with the gospel. Paul believes that there is a lifestyle that comes out of a relationship with Christ that is important for us to live out. There are several, Peter will say this, Paul says this, you know, don't use your freedom, your liberty for sin. I mean, they're concerned that we live a life of love, of concern for others. But what Paul wants to make clear is how you live your life is never going to make you right with God. We are all unworthy. You are not good enough for God. You're never going to live well enough to make him happy. You're never going to be holy enough in and of your own effort. But the good news is, Jesus is. And our confidence is not in my efforts to follow the rules or to keep the traditions or to even understand everything. My confidence that I am secure with God, that I'm on the right track, is that my faith is placed in Jesus Christ, who died once for all. And then nothing else is necessary for me to be right with God, because Jesus did everything that was necessary. The message of the gospel is, you're not worthy, but you are loved. And because you are loved, God has intervened so that you can be okay with him and that you can have hope. It's not about how many Sundays you attend. It's not about how much you put in the offering. It's not even about how well you keep the Ten Commandments. It's about your recognition that God is God, and he loves you, and he has sent his Son to make a way to have relationship with him and to live the life that he's intended for you to live. Paul believes not in rule-keeping. He believes in Holy Spirit transformation of lives. And we're going to see that. Galatians 5 is a great chapter about fruit of the Spirit. He's going to say, the law does not change you. The law does not transform you. We cannot legislate morality. And everyone tries. No matter what party they're in, everyone has their own morality that they think their politics are going to make happen in America. That does not change people. Only Jesus coming into your life through the power of the Holy Spirit transforms people. And Paul believes you don't need the law, you need Jesus. And you need to rest in that. That's where real freedom comes from. And anyone who tells you you have to walk this way, step by step, follow these rules, do these rituals, and you'll be okay, God, they're off track. Because only Jesus is good enough. Only Jesus was perfect. Only Jesus died for our sin. Only He satisfied all God's concerns for us. That's what Paul wants us to know. And he wants us to know, when you have accepted that and you know that, you are on the path to being transformed to live this life of love. And he called Peter to account. Your life is not consistent with the gospel right now. You are not loving your Gentile brothers and Christians. You are brothers and sisters. You are putting a burden on them that God does not intend for them to have. And often we put that burden on ourselves. We think, I have to live this way to be okay with God. You are only okay with God because of Jesus. And you're okay with God because of Jesus, because God loved you and sent His Son for you, because He intervened in your life. I could go on. I got to stop, because we got to celebrate Wendy. So let me pray. Ask God to take this message home to you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that we are not left on our own to work out our salvation without Your help, but that we have the grace and the gift of life through Christ. And we pray that Your truth would really sink home, and that we would be transformed as we walk in step with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.